Well, this morning, we're answering the question, how does the Holy Spirit help us see? And, of course, as Holy Spirit's part of creation, Holy Spirit's always existed, was there when we were created with eyes. I guess the Holy Spirit helps us see that way. Needless to say, that's not exactly what we're looking at here. Not to minimize the importance of sight. Of course, that's important, and the Holy Spirit does continue to keep us alive and make everything work, so I guess we could look at it that way. But far more important or more interesting to me, or what I want to talk about this morning, is how the Holy Spirit helps us to see, not just with our eyes. And when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of seeing, and when we think of visions, and that kind of thing. When we think of the Holy Spirit interacting with us, what we often think of is the kind of thing that happened to Paul in our Acts reading today. And we think, well, that's what a vision is. You're asleep, you have a dream, someone comes to you and says, this is what you should do. You should go and become a missionary. You should go and voluntarily take on a life of poverty. You should do something big and dramatic. As I told the folks at Knox, a time or two I've asked, sort of, hands up, who's had a vision from the Holy Spirit, from God? And I'm not going to do that because as soon as I do that, there's usually a couple of hands go up, which is very distracting to me because then I think, oh, I wonder what their vision was. And so instead of doing that, we will assume that for most people, we don't have visions that are that dramatic. And that's fine. We don't necessarily need dramatic visions. I don't know, for example, whether the Apostle Andrew ever had a dramatic vision. We just don't know. And yet he was still an apostle. He's still one of God's disciples. The problem comes when we think that that's the only way that the Holy Spirit communicates with us. And when we begin to think that the only kind of vision we can get is that. Well, when we look at our gospel reading, this is one of the places where Jesus talks specifically about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do. This is where he talks about how it's a good thing that he's leaving, unpleasant as that is for him, of course, in the short term, and unpleasant as it is for his followers and his friends. Anytime you lose a friend is unpleasant, whether they move away or they die or, in Jesus' case, ascend to heaven. He's saying it's a good thing that I leave. We think, well, how can that be a good thing? How can it ever be a good thing when people leave? And for whatever reason, Jesus' departure opened up a new ministry for the Holy Spirit with God's people. The Holy Spirit was always there. There are some people who honestly seem to believe that the Holy Spirit sprang into existence at Pentecost, which is not the case. The Holy Spirit shows up in Genesis. The Holy Spirit's always been there. God has always been the mysterious Trinity, three in one. We don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. It's true. That's fine. I don't understand lots of things that I know are true. This is another one. What did happen, though, was the Holy Spirit had a new interaction with people. And one of the first things that the Holy Spirit helped people to see was that original group of people. And it helped them to remember what Jesus had said. We tend to think that all Jesus said is carefully and pleasantly summed up in four Gospels, a couple of verses in Acts, and a few chapters in Revelation. Well, he was around for, well, a lifetime. And he worked with his disciples for probably 3 or 3.5 years. We're not exactly sure how that all works, but it was a considerable period of time. And presumably he talked a lot, just like we all do. Well, people didn't have recording devices back then. They didn't have iPads to take notes. They didn't even really have paper in a meaningful way like we do. And yes, they were better able to remember things in an oral culture. But it would have been impossible, I think, for them to remember everything they needed. And so the Holy Spirit, that first bit of ministry was for them in particular, that they would remember what Jesus had said and then be able to disseminate it to others, culminating in us. And part of that is the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to continue to reveal Jesus, what he said, continue to reveal the truths of Scripture to us even today. Holy Scripture is not magic. It is special in the sense that it is Scripture. It is not magic. But one of the extraordinary things is that if we decided as a group that for the next period of time, a week, a month, whatever it might be, that every day we would all read the same piece of Scripture. Say we worked our way a paragraph at a time through the book of Philippians, whatever. The thing that's extraordinary to me is that the Holy Spirit would reveal the truth of that passage of Scripture to each of us, and it might be different for each of us. And none of us would be wrong. It wouldn't be that I got it right and you got it wrong, or vice versa. It's that the Holy Spirit opens up the truth of Scripture for us, which is why we can read a particular passage in Scripture at different times in our life, and it brings different things to mind. It encourages us in different ways. It challenges us in different ways, because Scripture is alive, and the Holy Spirit is what helps us to see it. So we see it in a way that we would never be able to otherwise. There are, if you read Shakespeare, if you read the same play every year, you will take different things from it. So it's not that this is the only bit of reading you will do that changes with time, of course. But it's the only thing you will read where the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to it, to see the things that are there for you. Not magic. It's a gracious God reaching out to us as individuals whenever we need it. Well, the other thing that the Holy Spirit provides when it comes to seeing is vision. And you may be thinking, well, you just said we don't get visions. Well, there's more to visions than seeing a person. And I find it fascinating, and I found it kind of amusing, when the corporate world, non-profits, for profits, whatever, discovered the power, and in this case, almost the magic, of a vision statement. And so you get together and you have a committee, you have whatever, and you come up with this statement, usually 20, 25 words, supposed to be easily memorized, and now you all know what you're doing. It helps you all move forward, and it can be tremendously influential. It can make all the difference in the world for a church or for a company or a group of people, for a sports team. Because a vision statement encapsulates what you want to do and you can all move forward. The thing that I found so amusing when they discovered it is, I'm pretty sure the Bible says without a vision, people perish. Not exactly what they're talking about when it comes to vision statements, but the notion of a common vision is something that's tremendously important. And the notion of a vision in the sense of this is what you need to do is tremendously important. And sometimes it comes like it did for Paul, in the form of a vision where he sees a person saying, I need you to come here to help me with what I need. But that's not the only kind of vision we get. Those are the ones we talk about because they're dramatic and they're different. That's why we talk about them. We talk about things that are different. What we don't talk about is the vision that we all receive on a regular basis about what we are supposed to do. We sometimes think that we receive a vision and that shapes our life forever. Except it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Paul. He got a vision to go to Macedonia. He got other visions to other things. He got the Holy Spirit's guidance for him to do things. Why do we think that Paul was so special that we wouldn't have anything of a similar nature? We do. We think our visions have to be like that. There has to be someone coming in a dramatic way. Or we think a vision has to be what John recorded in his Revelation, where we see these trees of life and rivers that are crystal clear and they're glorious. And I would love to have such a vision. But those aren't the only things that are visions. We get the vision from the Holy Spirit that we get. The vision we get every day is what should we do? It's not as cut and dried as a diary. I think I've told you this before, that in the best of all possible worlds, as far as my laziness is concerned, everybody would have their own Bible. You opened it in the morning, it would tell you exactly what you were supposed to do. And of course God could do that. He doesn't. But part of me wishes he would. So then I wouldn't have to think about it. That's lazy. There's no other word to put it. There's no way to ennoble that. That's just me being lazy. But we do get a vision. And we get visions every day. Every time you have had that feeling that, you know, I should call that person. They just spring into your mind. You don't know why. When you think about it, you can't, you know, it's not that you saw a name similar to theirs in a news story or something. They just pop into your mind. You think, I should call them. Or I should put something on their Facebook. I should send them an email. I should write them a letter. Whatever it might be, that's the Holy Spirit providing vision for you. Because one of the things that we do as human beings in general, and frequently as church people even more, is we underestimate how valuable we are. Which is strange, because we know that we are of ultimate, of infinite value. We know that if it somehow worked out that we were the only person who had sinned, Christ would still come for us. We know we are that valuable. And we frequently undersell ourselves. And we have that little moment where we think, I should phone that person. Or we see something and think, I should do that. And then we think, well, that, what is that? That's not important. Yes, it is. It's critically important because you're the only person who can do that. If I have this feeling that I should go and look up my friend Bruce, who lives in Alberta, we haven't seen each other face-to-face for years. We communicate by email for the most part because both of us hate talking on the phone. If I have this feeling that I should go to his Facebook page and type in a little thing saying, yeah, I was thinking about you. And I say, that's too much work. I'm too unimportant. I'll find somebody more important like Bill to do it. And so I call up Bill and say, I want you to go to my friend Bruce on his Facebook page and say, you were thinking of him. How is that better? If I got the mayor, the premier, the prime minister, the queen, whoever, some big important rock star or athlete, if I could somehow convince them to go and say, I was thinking of you, do you think that would mean as much to Bruce as if I said it? No. Because he doesn't know these people. Of course they weren't thinking of him. He might find it gratifying that they know he exists. But that's given to me. That's given to you. You have the ability within you to make a critical difference in the lives of the people you know. And the Holy Spirit provides that vision for you to do it. And it's true vision. It's a vision every bit as miraculous and as important as the vision that Paul received to go to Macedonia. Paul received the vision to go to Macedonia, not just because he didn't have anything else to do, but because Paul was the person who was supposed to go there. When you get this feeling that you should take an extra 10 seconds to speak kindly to the person who's bagging your groceries, it's because that's what you should do, and it's just as important that you do it as that Paul went to Macedonia. Think about that for a second. The Holy Spirit takes your ministry as seriously as the Holy Spirit took Paul's ministry, because they're both as important. Maybe not as large. Really, the Apostle Paul put in a tremendous amount of work, even leaving aside the writing of most of the New Testament. I mean, the amount of things he did was really extraordinary. And we're grateful that he did. But his ministry was not fundamentally more important than yours. In a very real and true sense, it was exactly the same. Because the call upon you is the call that only you can do. God calls you to do what you can do. And when he asks you, it's because you're the best person to do it. Maybe not the only person. God does seem to have backup plans, because we're often, well, sometimes we just willfully refuse sometimes we misunderstand, sometimes we work ourselves into a frenzy so we don't do it right. I mean, so I want to take some of the pressure off. It's not that if you don't do something, the whole world is going to come to an end or someone's life is going to be destroyed. It's hardly ever to that extent. But we do need to pay attention. Because we don't know what it will do. We don't know what an impact we're going to have. Our kind words may be the difference between life and death. As I told our friends at Knox, I wish I could remember where it was, but a retired couple, it's a real story, I heard it on CBC, it's not one of those preacher stories, but it would be good if this had happened. I try to identify those for what they are, and I honestly try not to use them very much. This is not one of them. A retired couple came across a house that they wanted to buy. It had big windows out front on a beautiful view. There was a valley, a gorge, or whatever it was, and it was well within their means. It cost less than they would have expected. The wife had a certain amount of physical disability, couldn't get around a lot. Well, how powerful do you think the words, "Would you like a cup of tea?" be? What's that, tea? You know, some people don't like tea. Earl Grey tea gives me a headache because of that bergamot stuff. Tea, what's tea? Well, what these people found is that the house was reasonably inexpensive because it looked out on one of the most popular places to commit suicide in the country. And if you looked out your front window at the wrong time, you'd see somebody walking to the edge of the gorge and stepping off. And so what the man started to do when he saw people out there is go out and ask them, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And we don't know for sure, I don't know at this point how many people he saved, and maybe they came back another day, maybe they chose another method, but he went out and offered tea to more than 500 people who came back to his house for tea and left alive. The little phrase, "Would you like a cup of tea?" How meaningful can that be? For people who didn't think anyone cared, anyone would notice, somebody got out of their house that they didn't know, walked across the street and said, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And for some people, that was the difference between life and death. How much more of a vision do you want? How much more important do you want your actions to be? And those are the actions you have every day. When the Holy Spirit gives you that little prod, and I've talked about this often because it's something I wish I would have learned earlier and put into my life better. When you get that little prod, you don't know where it comes from, to go and do this thing. Please go and do that thing. Maybe it'll be meaningless. But maybe not. And maybe you too will have those moments when somebody asks you, "Do you remember when you said that to me?" And you say, "No, I don't." Or maybe you do. It's just something you've chatted for a minute or two. And they say, "That was the most important thing you could have said to me. Because you said it at the time it needed to be said. And nobody else can do that." That's the vision we get from the Holy Spirit every day. Every bit as important as Paul. Every bit as important as anybody you read about in the Bible. Any great pillar of the faith, from Martin Luther to whoever is your favorite person to think of. We get vision. Life-changing, life-giving vision from the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is do it. How does the Holy Spirit help us see? The Holy Spirit helps us see what we should do. What more could we ask for? There's almost nothing in the world more depressing than that feeling we sometimes get that what we do doesn't matter. Because from there it's a short step to "we don't matter." Well, we do. Each of you do. All of us do. Because only you can speak those words of encouragement to me or to whoever it is that they will hear best. I have never said anything profound in any of those little conversations that have come back to me where people have said, "Do you remember when?" I have never said anything profound. I have never said anything that you would ever see written on a poster somewhere. But it was what they needed to hear, and they needed to hear it from me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes to your inner eyes to see when your interactions are going to be more than just casual interactions. I mean, we should always be pleasant. We should try and treat people with the respect they deserve. We know that, and we all work hard at that. But sometimes you get that little sense that just a little bit more is all you need to do. And who knows what impact you'll have. I still remember words that missionaries spoke to me when I was still in single digits. Most of them have passed on by now. Do you think Clem Dreger on his dying bed was thinking, you know, I bet when I remembered what I'd eaten at Barry's house the last time I was there, I bet that was really important to him. I don't think it meant anything. I don't think he'd think about it at all. It meant everything to me, because it meant that our family mattered, that a busy person who ministered to hundreds, maybe thousands, millions of people as a lifelong missionary remembered that the last time he was at our house, he ate this particular thing that he especially enjoyed, and he really liked the conversation around the table. I'm going to thank him for that someday. Like that song, Thank You. I don't know if you've heard it. It was a Christian song a few years ago about someone who, when they die, doesn't think they really did much. And when they get to heaven, there's this endless, endless stream of people wanting to come and say thank you for those things you did. My brother sang it at my mom's funeral because that's what we were experiencing then. That's what we will all experience. Very few of us are called to go to Macedonia. If you are, wonderful. I will support you in every way. But we're all called. We're all called to live the vision the Holy Spirit gives us. To be the people we're meant to be. That's the best part about it. Our vision isn't to become someone that we've never been or never met. It's to be us, the best us we can be. The Holy Spirit says you were created with unique gifts. You have a unique value. And this is how you exercise it today. This is how you do it now. Later on it'll be different. But that vision is given to each of us. And all we have to do is let our eyes be opened and see. Amen.